This is Harriet Kamak, the host of Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about the issues that matter. And today on our show, I want to talk with you about the emphasis of ritualistic religion. That's very important, the emphasis of ritualistic religion. And as we're using as our text today, Psalms 50, imagine that in the book of Psalms. Psalms 50, verses 7 to 15 of the New King James Version of the Bible. And we're going to show you what the emphases of ritualistic religion is and what are the remedies for it. And we're going to take you into the scriptures, read it in your hearing so that you too can see it, identify with it, and say, if I have found myself guilty of doing this, if I find that I have been doing this, maybe this is the wrong way to have done this, let me try and reach God in a different way. So we're going to talk about that. But first, if this is your first time watching us, my name is Harriet Kamak. I'm an author. I'm also the founder of the Exodus Foundation, an organization that we have created to provide relief services to women and girls in our community. So go to our website, theexodusfoundation.com, for more information on our efforts to rid our community of human trafficking and ending violence against women. Most of us today can identify that there are women, our sisters, our friends, our nieces, our daughters, our mothers, our aunts, our grandmas, and our friends in the wider community who we have seen there have been instances of violence against women. It takes different forms, but it's still the same thing. It still robs a woman of the joy of living, of her ability to live her life the way in which she chooses to. And so we started this company, the Exodus Foundation, as an organization to ensure that women have access to the services they need when they are seeking an end to run away from intimate partner violence and from sex and human trafficking. So for more information, go to our website, theexodusfoundation.com, for how we try to do this. Amen. Be a part of the movement. So join with us. Amen. So turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 50. And if you don't have a Bible, then you can always download the Bible app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store, whatever those devices are called. Download the Bible app. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And you can always read this in your own time so that you have some sort of reference. We're reading Psalms 50. Verses 7 to 15. And as usual, I am reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It's not because I'm American. It's because I like it, right? Psalms 50, verses 7 to 15. This is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was a seer. And he wrote this as a song. So the psalms are songs. And listen to what it says. We're reading from verse 7. Here's this. It says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds." Read what God is saying. Listen to what he's saying. "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all of the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you." Why should God tell us if he's hungry? "For the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving." So that's what he's telling us. "And pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." Father, in Jesus' name, let me decrease so that you might increase. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts find acceptance in your sight. We thank you this morning, O God, as we gather to give glory unto your name. We pray that this message goes out and that people hear it, and those who are hearers of the word become doers of the word. We thank you for healing our bodies right now. For those who are in hospital rooms and in urgent care facilities, we thank you right now that you're healing sinuses and you're healing lung disorders. We thank you that you stretch your mighty hand of healing and wave it over hospitals right now in the name of Jesus. Cause a massive flow out of people just getting up, walking out of hospital rooms healed from the heads up, from the soles of from the crowns of their heads to the soles of their feet. We thank you right now, Lord God Almighty, that you restore speech impediments. We thank you that you correct those who are dumb, those who cannot hear, Lord God. Touch our ears, O God, so we can hear the word of God in Jesus' mighty name. Touch our mouths, Lord, so we bring glory to your name in the name of Jesus. Touch our bodies so we can get up and take care of ourselves as we age. I pray for those who are seniors in senior living facilities, some seniors who live at home, oh God. This is not the golden years that they believed would happen, but in the name of Jesus, give them restoration, restore their health and vitality, and bring them back, Jesus, to health and restoration. We thank you for blessing the generations. We thank you right now, oh God, for hearing this prayer and hearing us as you make a way in the valleys, make a way in the wilderness for your people this week. Make a way for provision, Lord God Almighty. Bless us, oh God. Keep catastrophic weather from our farms and from our buildings and from our homes in the name of Jesus. Keep vandalism away, Jesus. Keep bullets from ricocheting near our bodies. Keep children this week, Lord God, and keep bullets out of the places where we work and the places where we go to school, the places where we shop, the places where we eat. Lord God Almighty, I pray a hedge of protection around us in your mighty name, that you end wars in Gaza. Protect the children in Gaza. Protect the children in Ukraine. Protect the children in Yemen, the children in the Sudan, the children in Ethiopia, the children in sub-Saharan Africa. We thank you right now, Jesus, for the children in India, the children in Pakistan, the children in every corner of this world, Jesus, the children on our streets right here in America. Provide relief, O God. Open up the hearts of the wicked, O God, and let them see, O God, that you have provision for the people. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Amen. So the emphasis of ritualistic religion is very important. Yeah? We often refer to it as organized religion, especially I like to talk to my younger friends. I love children and I love young people, and I like to listen to what they say, and I have a concern about them as they matriculate through life. The concern I have is that they have not had good examples of God from us. So they have nothing to embody. They have nothing to model. They have no frame of reference. They don't even know how to talk to God, because the God of their grandmother was the man who was standing in the church taking all their grandmother's money. But when grandma needed help, there was no one to help bring our house out of tax foreclosure. There was no one to help provide for her and help her as she aged. But when she was working and providing, she was putting all her money in somebody else's storehouse. And so when she got old, there was no one to help her. So there are many young people who are looking at that and they're like, that's not God. And I don't want to have anything to do with that, because that form of God was destructive. What were we seeing there? The emphasis of ritualistic religion. Ritualistic religion has as its cornerstones these three strings right here. The wrong goals. The goal, one of the goals, is to build big buildings and collect all the money. Wrong. Wrong goals. Why? Because it takes the emphasis off of God. It takes the dependence off God, and it is not pointing to God. Number two is the hypocrisy of ritualistic religion. Have you ever noticed? Here's what hypocrisy is. They tell you and I, don't do this, don't do that. But the very things they tell us not to do is exactly what they do. They're also guilty of weaponizing Christianity. Yeah? Yeah. They weaponize Christianity to make it sound like it's some far right idealism, as if Christianity only belongs to one group of people. And that if you don't fit into this mold, then you can't be a Christian. If you're not white, if you're not heterosexual, then you're not a Christian. So far be it from the rest of the world, whom God said, did you just hear me read it? He said, the world is mine and the fullness thereof. In fact, in Psalms 24, one of my favorite Psalms, what does he say? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein, them. God made everybody on this earth. So far be it from you to weaponize Christianity and make it seem like it's some ideal of white rightness, of white supremacy. Do you see how you've destroyed it? And then you're wondering why your children, your own descendants, won't listen to what you have to say. They live with you. They hear you talk about nothing but racism. So the hypocrisy has blinded them, and they're like, I want to walk as far away from it as possible. I'm dealing with Christianity as the religion here. I'm not dealing with Islam or Judaism. I'm not as familiar with those religious practices as I am with Christianity. Christianity is what I study. Yeah? The third thing about ritualistic religion is the sacrifices are not God's desire. So here is the thing with ritualistic religion. They may not be cutting open bulls and bullocks on the altar like they did in the Old Testament, but you know what they tell you? They tell you to give your money as a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice unto God. What is God saying? He just said, I don't need your sacrifice. He has everything that he needs. He's been telling us this from in the book of Psalms. So far be it from we go over into the book of Matthew and Jesus had to come to do away with everything that was being done. God had closed that chapter. So now you walk up into churches, or they're mostly empty now, and you hear people telling you that you must tithe. That's so backbreaking. And if you don't tithe, God will not bless you. And if you don't give this money, God will not bless you. And if you don't do this, God will not bless you. None of which is true. The sacrifices, the only sacrifice that God wants is none. What does he say further? Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's all that God requires, is for you to obey him. Obey him in what he says. Time to time he will tell you, yeah, go over there and be a blessing to Harriet. Go over there and be a blessing to Alexandra. Go and be a blessing to Annalisa. Go be a blessing to John, Dick, Tom, Harry. Every now and then God will put someone on your heart and you will find yourself picking up your checkbook and writing a check. Every now and then God will stretch you out and say, why don't you give to so and so? But this ritualistic practices of religion, they've got to go. All these ceremonial things that in order for you to go in the sanctuary, they have to walk in with all that stuff. My friends, it's got to go. This is why Jesus came. Jesus came so that there is no what? No more veil between God and man. You know how we get to God? We praise him. So what is the remedy for all the religious ritualistic practices? Look, what does it say right here? Be obedient. Stop the mockery of God. Stop mocking God by saying, yeah, and that God. Stop mocking God by doing the opposite of what he requires. Number three is give thanks. I found that in Psalm 69 that it says we're to give God thanks. And Psalm 61, we're to give God thanks 7 times per day. You know what I found? I am guilty. I don't know that I give God thanks 7 times per day. I barely utter a thanks when I wake up in the mornings. I barely give God thanks in the middle of the day. And I barely give God thanks at the end of the day. So I am guilty of myself not even practicing giving God thanks 7 times a day. The other remedy is, what is this? Confess our sins. Let me get into that, because I feel like that is where we fail. None of us want to say we're sinful, because that word, the A word today, accountability, is not part of our vernacular. It's not part of our vocabulary. No one is accountable to anyone. You don't believe me? We can't even stay married because we can't even stay married to our spouses, because we're not going to be accountable to our spouses. We're not going to be accountable to the children we make as a result of man and woman coming together. No, we're not going to be accountable. So how are we going to be accountable to a God we have not seen? That is exactly the problem. So when there is no worship, when there is no identifying of accountability, God is absent from the picture. When God is absent from the picture, this is why people just have children willy-nilly. They run from one person to the other, and they just have children here because nobody is holding them accountable. So the society might intervene and say, well, you all have to pay child support, and people just run away and would rather go to jail than to be held accountable. You know why all of these things are happening? Because of the wrong goals, the hypocrisy, and the sacrifices. We make religion and we make God ritualistic and religious. So we have all these things that we must do. For instance, in some parts of the church, there are different denominations. You can't, a woman can't stand in the pulpit. But if you go in the New Testament, women were helping Jesus, and women were an integral part of his ministry. So tell me about that again, right? You go in there, and some parts of the church, they tell you that your hemline as a woman, your hemline should be ankle length, y'all. Ankle length. They don't even make, you know, at one point I had to ask a question as to where exactly do you find garments that are ankle length? Because I go to work every day and I was wearing skirts and I went to the stores. I went to Macy's and everywhere to shop. I never saw any ankle length skirts. So where exactly were these clothes? Were they made in a special place just for you all? Do you see the ritualistic practices? Nobody was paying attention to my heart and my mind if I were worshiping God. Nobody was paying attention to whether I was doing what God said, but they were paying attention to their religious ritualistic practices. So they tell you that you can't serve God if you're a man because you can't be married. We found out last week that that's not true. It was a mistranslation. It actually was translation, the bishop of one wife, not the bishop of no wife. So they built a whole religious practice around it that destroyed religion, destroyed Christianity, and destroyed people's lives. To this day, people are still seeing it's utter confusion because I don't know which way is up or not. Sounds like the work of the devil to me. All of these things, all of these ritualistic practices, they tell people that they can't be with so-and-so, that you should not have sex before marriage, and that this and that, and they hold people accountable. Let me explain something. Unless we're going to get ready to start marrying children at 15, we're going to find that the Bible was right. You realize that when this was written, the Bible was what? People were actually getting married at 15. You know why? Why? Let me ask you, in all of your wisdom, because the hormones descend. And anybody who has ever raised a teenager know exactly what I'm talking about. So you see how difficult it is to tell your teenager that they shouldn't have sex at 15 without providing them a remedy. So you tell people about conversion therapy and you want to convert them from being homosexual, but you don't tell them about the love of God. Do you see the hypocrisy? So what we say then is that the sacrifices that we make. So people make sacrifices in their daily lives, like they're busy, they're working, full-time job, raising children, another full-time job, being married, another full-time job. And you tell people that they have to go to church 3, 4 times, 5 times a week. Where do they find time to be with their families? And you wonder why people break apart. They have nothing in common. You ask people to pay these sacrifices. Do you realize that when you ask people to volunteer in the church, you should at least pay them minimum wage? You realize that, right? So you're asking people who work all day to come and stand for 3 hours and you tell them, do it unto the Lord. It's your sacrifice. This is why the whole thing is falling apart. This is why it has fallen apart. Because all of these things were just rituals of religion. That's all they were. They knew not. The Bible says that they served a form of godliness, but not the true God thereof. So listen to what God said. God said, so this is why he's asking this rhetorically. He says, who am I? First of all, who is he? He says, I am God. Listen to what he says. And he says, I'm going to testify against you. He's testifying against you because he's showing you who is God. He's showing you all the rituals of religion that we have practiced. Look at what he says. He says, I'm not going to rebuke you for your sacrifices. So he's giving us a leeway there, or your burnt offerings. But I am going to say, he says, I don't need you. I don't need you to give me your bullocks, your bulls. I don't need you to pour blood on this altar. I don't need any of that because I own the earth and everything that is in it. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Once upon a time, I calculated how much the cattle on 1,000 hills are. Typically, one cattle is worth $100,000. So if the cattle on 1,000 hills, let's say somebody has 10. Let's just start with 10 or 100 cattle on one hill. Multiply that and you see that person's a millionaire already. So God says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All of them. So he doesn't need me and you, and he doesn't need our sacrifices. What he does require is that we are obedient. What he does require. And let me just put this into context for you, because a lot of people are into this religious rituals. Let me explain something. If we're going to be religious, and if we're going to say, well, I go to church and I do this, and in the name of Jesus, I do this myself. Yeah. If we're going to do that, why don't we help the poor? So we have these goals that we're going to make money and we're going to collect all this money. What are we doing with it? Are we feeding the hungry? Are we taking the homeless and providing shelter for them? Are we providing a reprieve and legal services to help people who are coming out of incarceration to recover their lives? They're still human. I don't agree with it all, but sometimes you have to look at it in a different context. Are we helping children? Let's start there. So you don't want to help adults, but are we helping children? Are we providing a way? Well, I'm not talking about orphanages where people are beaten and children come out damaged and emerge damaged. I am talking about providing help. I'm talking to policymakers as well who are supposed to execute public policy that provide relief services. If we can build weapons of war, we can feed the children in America. We can provide health care for the children in America. That is what God is saying. So stop looking. We need to stop this ritualistic practice. The same person who goes into church on Sunday is also the person who writes legislation. It's also the person who sits on boards of advisory councils. What are we doing about children who are not going to college? What happens to children in poor parts of the country where farming is non-existent? What happens to those children? Are they able to access services? Are they getting health care? Are they getting fed? Do you know that, for instance, in my state of Michigan, that the homeless rate among children is very high? What are we doing about that? But here's what we do. We practice ritualistic religion. We put on our holy robes and we go into the sanctuary on a Sunday, and on a Wednesday, we turn the lights on and we pretend for those few minutes that we are serving God. And God is like, is it me? Is it really me you're serving? Because he's like, I don't want any of the stuff that you are claiming you're giving me. He's also telling us that if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I don't need to tell you. I own everything so I can feed myself. What I want you to do is to go and help others. Take some of those goals and help others. Cut out the hypocrisy. Here we are weaponizing Christianity and telling women that they can't have body autonomy and they can't have choices over themselves. But at the same time, we want to tell men how to treat women. The hypocrisy is real. We're not addressing the men who are in positions of authority who are abusing children and abusing women. We're not addressing that. But we set up these hierarchical structures where people feel that they have power and they can use that power and extend that power over people's lives. This is not going to be one of those messages that anybody likes, because this is one of those messages that cuts to the bone. Every now and then we need one of these to remind us of who we are. The God that is referred to, the name of God that is referred to in this Psalms, it is El Elohim, the mighty God, the God of the creator of heaven and earth. That God does not need our sacrifices. What he does need is our obedience. What he does need is for us to give him thanks daily, because that's our reasonable service. So every day, for 7 times per day, just get up and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I got up this morning. Even if you don't believe, even if you're hearing this and you walked away from the church and you're like, I have nothing to do with those people. They ruined my life, ruined my family, ruined my belief, ruined everything that I would want to think is good. Start by saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that today I can breathe. Thank you today I'm not in a hospital room. Thank you today I'm not going to a specialist to hear them give me some kind of condition about diagnostic or some diagnostician who is going to give me something. Say, thank you, Jesus, for the skills and the gifts you have given me that I can make a living. Let's pray right now in the name of Jesus. We need to pray some more. I'm going to ask you to try this for this week. Give God thanks at least for 7 times per day. The ancestors were not wrong in worshiping God. They were doing the best they could with what knowledge they had and what resources they had. Today, we are more enlightened. We have more access to research and knowledge so we can expand on God. From generation to generation, God doesn't change. His nature doesn't change, but his methodology will change. His methodology of deliverance today is you watching me through the screen, is you watching me on your phone, is you listening to this podcast. So his methodology will change, but his grace and his mercy never changes. We're all in need of grace and mercy. We all need mercy. Sometimes we're too powerful. We have our good jobs. We make our money and we use our credit cards and we can do everything. And we forget until we go down the street and a car spins out and we say, oh, God, help. Or we hear something about a bad news of a mass shooting on a university or on a college campus, on a school site or at a mall. And we say, oh, God, please don't let it be mine. We hear some bad news from somebody else and we say, thank you, Jesus. It was not me. Come on now. We need to give God thanks. There is something you can give God thanks for. And I know it's asking you for to be benevolent and asking you to, I don't want to. Arise and give thanks nonetheless. Sometimes that's all that can help us. Here's what giving thanks does. It opens up our minds and our hearts to receive. You may not have everything that you want. I'm sitting in a place where I don't have everything that I have wanted from God. I have been praying for years and years about some stuff and God has not answered me. But you know what I've learned to do? While I wait on God to deliver me, I'm going to give him thanks that right while I wait that I will live to see the blessings of the Lord. So why don't I pray with you right now in the name of Jesus that God will come to you, that God will answer you, that God will make a way in the wilderness, that God will provide for you, and that his grace and mercy will overtake you. May the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to you. May you have joy and peace this week. May God bless you. May you come to know God in a real and in a mighty way. And may the blessings of the Lord overtake you now and forever. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Be blessed, everyone.